Chapter 8. I tore the door open onto a room the size of my apartment, lined with freestanding mirrors, folding tables, and chairs. A cloud of foul energy slapped me in the face. Bobby stood off to my right, his expression registering surprise and confusion. To my left stood a woman in the corner of my vision, mostly naked. I didn't stop to ogle, but ran through the room to a second door. It was partly open and swinging closed again. I slammed through it into a bathroom as big as my bedroom, which I suppose isn't all that unusual. The air was hot, humid, and smelled like fresh soap. The shower was running, its glass door broken into jagged teeth. The floor was covered in more broken glass, a little water, and a lot of blood. Two rigid, motionless bodies lay on the floor. My instincts screamed a warning, and just before I stepped into the pool of blood-stained water, I threw myself into a jump. My shins hit heavily on the counter of the sink, and I started to fall. I grabbed onto the faucet and hauled myself up. My shins hurt like hell, but I'd kept my feet off the floor. My brain caught up to my instincts, and I saw what was going on. The two people on the floor weren't motionless. They were locked into positions of rigid agony. Sparks leapt up in the back corner of the room. A heavy, high-voltage light fixture had broken loose from the ceiling and fallen, hauling exposed wiring to lie in the thin sheet of scarlet liquid on the floor. Like I said, I don't get along with technology when I'm trying to use it. But when I actually want to bust it up, I'm hell on wheels. I extended my right hand at the light fixture, snarled incoherently, and willed raw power over the electric menace like an invisible wrecking ball. The hex rippled through the air, and the live wires exploded into wild blue arcs of electricity for maybe 2 seconds. And then the lights went out. In the whole damn building. Whoops. I heard a pair of gasps from whoever was on the floor, presumably Jake and someone named Giselle. I got out my pentacle amulet. "What's happening?" Bobby's voice sounded suspicious. Stars, what a dolt. "Hey, prick, what do you think you're doing?" "Where are the damned emergency lights?" said an annoyed female voice. A light flicked on in the dressing room, and Joan appeared at the bathroom door holding a pocket flashlight on her keychain. "What's going on?" "Call 911, I snapped. "Hurry, there's bleeding." "You need a light," Joan said. "Got one." I willed energy through the silver pentacle. It flickered and began to brighten with a steady blue glow that made the blood on the floor look black. "Hurry, and bring all the ice you can find with you when you come back." Joan vanished from the door. She snarled, "Get out of the way, you blockhead!" And her footsteps retreated back down the hall. I got off the sink, splashed into the water, and knelt beside the downed people. Jake, naked from the waist up, stirred as I did. "Ow," he said in a rough voice. "Ow." "Are you all right?" I asked. He sat up, wobbling a little. "Never mind. Giselle, she must have slipped in the shower. I came in to help her." I turned my attention to the girl. She was young and a little scrawny for my tastes, all long limbs and long hair. I rolled her onto her back. She had a cut running the length of her neck, curving from the base of her ear to above her collarbone. Blood shone on her skin, her mouth was partly open, and her dark eyes were glassy. "Crap," I said. I seized a towel from a large shelf of them and pressed it down hard on the girl's wound. "Jake, I need you." He looked up a little blearily. "Is she dead?" "She will be if you don't help. Hold this down hard. Keep pressure on the wound." "Okay." He didn't look steady, but he clenched his jaw and did as I instructed. While I elevated her feet with a rolled towel, Jake said, "I can't feel a pulse. She isn't breathing." "Damn it." I tilted the girl's head back and made sure her mouth was clear. I sealed my mouth to hers and blew in hard. Then I drew back and put the heels of my hands near her sternum. I wasn't sure how hard to push. The practice dummy in the CPR class didn't have ribs to break. I guessed and hoped I got it right. 5 pushes, then another breath. 5 more, then another breath. The blue light from my amulet bobbed and waved about, making shadows lurch and shift. For the record, CPR is hard to do for very long. I made it for maybe 6 or 7 minutes and was getting too dizzy to see when Jake told me to switch off with him. We swapped jobs. Joan returned with a big steel bowl of shaved ice, and I had her fold it into another towel, which I then pressed down over the wound. "What are you doing?" Joan asked. "She's cut bad. If we get her heart started, she'll bleed out," I panted. "The cold will make the blood vessels constrict, slow down the bleeding. It might buy her some time."
"Oh, God," Joan muttered. "Poor thing."
I leaned down to peer at her face. The skin on the left side of her features and on her throat was covered in blotches of dark, angry red. "Look, burns."
"From the electricity?" Joan asked.
"Her face wasn't in the water," I said. I squinted between the girl and the shower. "The water," I said. "It turned hot on her. She got scalded and fell right through the damn glass." Joan flinched, as if she'd been stabbed with a knife, and her face turned gray.
"Oh, my God. This is my fault. I hooked up the water heater myself."
"Jinxed," said Bobby from the dressing room. "This whole shoot is jinxed. We're screwed." Joan was holding herself steady, but tears fell from off her chin onto the naked girl. I kept pressure on the injury. "I don't think this was your fault. I want you to get out front and show the paramedics in when they arrive." Her face still ashen, she rose and took off without looking back. Jake kept up the mouth-to-mouth like he knew what he was doing. I was panting and holding the towel and ice against the wound when the paramedics finally showed up, carrying heavy-duty flashlights and rolling a wheeled stretcher between them. I told them what had happened to the girl and got out of their way, taking a seat on the corner of a counter that ran along a wall of makeup mirrors. Jake joined me a minute later.
"Thought I felt her breathe," he panted, his tone subdued. We watched the paramedics work. "God, this is really terrible. What are the odds of all that happening, you know?"
I frowned and closed my eyes, extending my senses into the room around me. Somewhere in the furor and panic, the choking cloud of destructive magic had dissipated. Barely a trace remained. With the crisis over and no action to occupy my mind, my hands started shaking, and I saw a few stars in the corner of my vision. A phantom surge of panic sent my heart and breathing racing. I bowed my head and rubbed at the back of my neck, waiting for it to pass. The paramedics had some big old flashlights, so I put my amulet away, letting the blue light die out.
"You all right?" Jake asked. "We'll be in a minute. I hope she'll be okay."
Jake nodded, frowning.
"Maybe Bobby's right.
About a jinx?"
"Maybe."
He studied me for a second, expression guarded.
"How did you know?"
"Know what?"
"That we were in trouble. I mean, I thought you were in the studio. I ran in a couple of seconds after I heard her fall, and I was only a few feet away. You must have come through the door a couple of seconds after I did. How did you know?"
"Just lucky. We finished the cameras, and Joan took me up there to introduce me or something."
"What was that light you had?"
I shrugged. "Present from a friend's kid. Some kind of fancy new thing the kids have. Light up jewelry for dance clubs and keggers. They call them raves now."
"Raves, right."
Jake watched me for a moment and then slowly nodded his head.
"Sorry, I'm being paranoid, I think."
"Been there, no problem." He nodded and slumped down tiredly.
"I thought I was a dead man in there. Thank you."
It seemed smart to keep the wizard thing as low-key as possible. Someone was flinging some nasty energy around. No sense in advertising my identity as a wizard of the White Council.
"I didn't do much but run in," I said. "We're just lucky the power went out."
"Yeah."
The paramedics stood up, loaded Giselle onto the stretcher, and picked it up. Jake and I both came to our feet as they did.
"Is she going to be okay?" he asked.
The paramedics didn't slow down, but one of them said, "She's got a chance." The man nodded to me. "Without the ice, she wouldn't have had that." Jake frowned and chewed on his lip, clearly upset.
"Take care of her."
The paramedics started moving out with quick, steady steps.
Sir, you better come along with us to the hospital so that the doctors can check you out. I feel fine, Jake said. The paramedics went around the corner, but the second one called back. Electricity can do some nasty damage you might not feel. Come on. But Jake stayed where he was. The paramedics took their lights with them, leaving the dressing room in darkness for a moment until Joan returned with her little flashlight. Guffy, get your bow-flexed ass into that ambulance. He looked up at his reflection in the mirrored wall. His hair was sticking up every which way. Though I apparently see the same stylist as Einstein, the Bride of Frankenstein, and Don King, I feel fine. Don't worry about me. I thought you'd say that, she said. Fine. I'll drive you there myself. Everyone else needs to leave until I can make sure the power lines aren't going to kill anyone. Bobby and Emma are already outside. Harry, be back here by 3, all right? Why? I asked. To start shooting. Shooting? Jake blurted. After that? She grimaced. The show must go on. Everyone out so I can lock up. Guffy, get in my car and don't argue with me. Arturo is meeting us at the hospital. Okay, Jake said. He didn't sound like he minded agreeing. What about Bobby and Emma? They have a car? Don't think so. Jake picked up his sports bag, dug in it, and tossed me a set of keys. Here, give those to Emma for me. I caught them, and we all started out of the building. Gotcha. Joan sighed. Maybe we are jinxed. It's like someone said Macbeth. What are the odds? Jake agreed. Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. Fire, burn, and cauldron, bubble. I didn't say anything to them, but I was pretty sure things would get worse before they got better. A whole lot worse.